Stardate 94763.44. Welcome to another live edition of Star Trek Discovery Pod. My name is Mike Garcia. Let's see if we can get this right. With me on the view screen is...
Mariah Gossett.
Clyde Haynes.
And Grant Davis.
This week we are doing another deep dive on a beloved Star Trek character. In anticipation of Discovery Season 3, and we are live on YouTube, and this time we're focusing on Tilly, everyone's favorite redhead ensign played by Mary Wiseman. And if you're watching live on YouTube, you'll get your chance to chime in on the conversation soon. That's going to come up in a few minutes, but first, I want to quickly remind everyone again that you can help the pod raise funds to promote racial justice in America. We believe Black Lives Matter, and that's why we're donating 100% of our Patreon funds at the end of June to organizations supporting the Black Lives Matter movement, including the Austin Justice Coalition in our hometown of Austin, 401, and the Black Lives Matter Global Network. So if you would like to contribute your own donation to our pool, you can do that at donate.startrekpod.co. That's donate.startrekpod.co.
That's right, and we'll be sending in our donation on June 30th, so we have the rest of the month to try to make that a nice, sizable donation. We all know we have to be doing more so that we can all live long and prosper.
And hey, if it's your first time tuning into the podcast, welcome. We're here to hopefully serve up some positive Trek-based fun for you every week. We typically review episodes of Star Trek Discovery and Star Trek Picard. But since we're in the off season right now, we've been covering different Star Trek topics. But so please take a look at our back catalog at StarTrekPod.co and subscribe, rate, and review the pod wherever you listen to podcasts.
And if you've done all of that good work, you can also help us out by going to Patreon.com/StarTrekPod. There you can make a per episode pledge to financially support this little project that we got going on here. Give us a buck or two per episode that we put out. We put out a new episode every week, Thursday nights. At least that's our current schedule. And yeah, we would love for you guys to help help support us. And in turn, we would love to invite you guys to enjoy our bonus exclusive content. If you guys give at least $2 an episode, you can join us on our private Slack channel where we are chatting about all sorts of things Trek, talking about the different TV show iterations of the movies. We're doing rewatches. We're talking about the books even. I think Clyde's talking about the books sometimes.
Clyde's like, I'm not talking about books.
Like once, but I should talk about the books.
You guys should come check it out. Patreon.com/StarTrekPod. We'd love to have you guys come join us, and we appreciate all the support. Yeah, Patreon.com/StarTrekPod.
And if you happen to be watching us live, I just want to say, feel free to tag us at Star Trek Pod or type in capital P, capital O, capital D, capital Pod in front of your comments. If you want us to mention them later on in the chat, or if you have a question, you know, I'd love for you guys to share your favorite Tilly moment or Tilly opinions. So we'll be looking through the live comments to see what you guys are talking about.
I think that's when we also say, and smash that like button. Smash it.
Smash that bell.
You are so hip, Grant.
We're so YouTube savvy.
You keep it lit, Grant. Oh, that's what it is.
Ooh, Grant, are you Gen Z or a millennial?
I am a millennial. Gen Z? How young do you think I am?
What's Gen Z? Is that like your kids?
Gen Z's like being born post the year 2000.
Oh, like Mariah.
Yeah, like
I
baby Mariah.
I am a millennial, thank you.
Mariah, can you legally drink yet?
All right.
Yes.
This has gone a very weird place.
Live long and prosper. Okay, let's talk about Tilly. Let's just dive right into it. We've been doing these character breakdowns for our The top Discovery characters in anticipation of season 3. Hey, have you guys seen any season 3 Discovery news? Have we gotten a date yet? I don't think so, right?
No, and I tried to pull it out of, for those people who are in the Slack, you got to hear a special interview I did with the science consultant for Star Trek. She is radical. Her name is Erin. And I tried to ask her if she knew anything, and she was like, I don't, even though I know she would never tell me. But there seemed, I tried to read her face over video chat to see if there's any inkling, and I got nothing.
See if she's a dirty liar.
I got nothing. Apparently, they're still working on like music composition and all that kind of stuff. So still in post-production.
Okay, right on. Well, if anybody in the chat has heard anything about when season 3 is coming, let us know, because
those sleuthy interneters.
Yeah. Our listeners are very, very savvy about these premiere dates and all the behind-the-scenes stuff. So if you guys have any inside info that we don't have, let us know. I mean, Mariah even talked to the science consultant, and we got nothing. We came up with zip. We're no good. But in between seasons, we are talking about the main characters of Discovery today. We're talking about Tilly. Guys, let's just go around and talk about why we like Tilly, because we all like Tilly, right?
Duh.
A little bit. Just a like a skosh.
All right, give me your hot take on Tilly.
Hot freaks.
I'll go first because she is my curly kindred of the show. I like to think of us as being, you know, one and the same. You know, I'm not an actor, but if I was, I'd want the part of Tilly. But yeah, I like her because she is a nerd. There's a great article on StarTrek.com that is someone sort of also expressing this about how throughout Star Trek, we've always gotten like really incredible female characters throughout the series. You know, we get folks who are incredibly smart. We get ones that are, you know, very empathetic, that really know how to use both their emotions and their intelligence in order to be, you know, badass women. We talk about this on our Badass Women of Trek series as well. But I love Tilly because she's just a straight up nerd, like, and she's not afraid to express it. You know, she wants to prove herself using her knowledge. And I think she's finally growing into herself and learning to hone her self-confidence along with that knowledge to eventually become, you know, the nicer Killy in this universe.
The nicer Killy. Okay.
Yeah.
She's like Dexter. She'll only kill the bad people.
Exactly.
Look, I think Tilly is a phenomenal character. And she is pure nerd, but she's also just pure heart. And I think that's what makes it so interesting is that because look, first of all, everybody on Discovery is got a whole lot of nerd in them, right? Except for maybe, you know,
Lorca
there for a while, right? But everybody's got a whole lot of nerd in them. And so the fact that Tilly was like the best theoretical engineering student in the academy just makes it makes her like a super nerd. And that's great. But also when we think about somebody like Burnham, who's also pure nerd, Tilly brings her heart. And it's such a great heart that it transforms the people around her, right? And I think that is kind of what makes it special, is that she becomes, in a sense, kind of the heart of Discovery, right? The compassion, that social component. It almost feels like everybody else is a bunch of workaholics, but Tilly is that person who shows up with like donuts on Friday in the office.
Like Dexter.
Yeah. and gets you to stop working up for a moment. Like, that's Tilly. And I think in that same vein, sometimes her coworkers can feel almost like it's annoying, but where would you be without it? Right. So I also love the journey that they're taking us on with her. It's not all at once. It's not like a whole lot of exposition. It's not like a full feature episode where it's just her and that's it. but it's almost like episode by episode, they're exploring and giving us a little bit more so that she feels a lot more three-dimensional at the end of season two than she did season one, at the beginning of season one.
You know what I keep thinking about is, I know this was a show initially conceived and launched by Brian Fuller. It's got a lot of trademark Brian Fullerisms, but Tilly feels more like a Joss Whedon kind of character that was like dropped in, kind of adopted from a lot of those kind of hallmark tropes of what the Whedonverse tends to do. You have this geeky, endearing person who feels like one of your friends, one of the fans of Star Trek, essentially, who was dropped into the world and looks around and is just exuberant and enthusiastic about everything going on. There's a lot of characters who are real and grounded in that way, that they're just kind of like, man, I'm just part of, this is part of the gig. This is the life. We're on a starship. I just got work to do. I'm cantankerous, whatever. And she's just like, we're on a spaceship flying around. This is amazing. And it feels like immediately relatable to us, the audience. She's a perfect lens for the joy that I think a lot of us feel when we watch this. And she's geeky. She's self-deprecating in a way that's immediately endearing. And yet she's got the bona fides that they take time to reveal to us, that like she earns, that she is that smart. She was top of the class, and she seems to be this sort of chameleon. I mean, you guys probably have a lot more familiarity when you watch the ship and watch the roles of these characters and like how they're supposed to actually behind the scenes be operating on a ship. I'm not sure of a lot of the roles of people necessarily, but she just feels like that. She feels like that person on a team who's able to kind of be slotted in and fill in as like the perfect assistant on anything. She can just adapt to, oh, you need someone to help with a spore drive, I can do that. You need someone helping on the bridge, I can do that. You need someone down in the engineering room, I know how to do all that. I'm multifaceted and can task onto any of that. And as long as you can handle my personality, we're going to get along great.
You know, yeah. Grant, that's interesting. As you say, kind of the Whedon universe, it's just making me think, could I see her on Firefly, right? Could I see her on Serenity? And I was thinking, what would happen if we swapped out like Kaylee, like say, you know, Kaylee was doing something and we put in Tilly, like, would that work?
Wouldn't it?
I think it would. I think you make a good point.
Feels more,
it would be different, like Whedon, but than, good.
Right. She feels more like Whedon than like, I can't see dropping her into like Pushing Daisies or Wonderfalls necessarily.
Yeah. She's kind of the Willow of the show,
which feels so much more like what Mary Wiseman has brought to the role. Like she perfectly encapsulates that bubbly enthusiasm that makes it just so fun to watch her every time she's on scene.
That enthusiasm is what really attracts me to this character. I think she's super optimistic. And to me, she represents the pure idealism of Star Trek, as well as its sincerity and intelligence. Like, Tilly is all these things. I absolutely love that she's extremely smart, but she's never egotistic or arrogant. She's super modest and humble, typically, and somewhat nervous and quirky. But she owns those qualities. Like, some people might see those as neurotypical, but she's happy with who she is, and she's self-possessed in the sense that she is on this journey. And like you said, Grant, she relishes the idea of being out in space on a spaceship on this journey. And she's committed, she's super committed to the uniform, and to her teammates, and to her ambition to one day become captain. We know that's her trajectory. And she's, I think out of all of them, she's positioned to be like the most aspirational character in terms of someone we can follow. You know, hopefully Discovery will last like seven seasons, like the Star Trek shows in the 90s. And we will be able to really follow Tilly on this journey from cadet. She started out as a cadet who was on Discovery, got promoted to ensign. Now she's on the command track. And one day, maybe we will see her as captain. I also like that she has mommy issues because I can relate. She's also allergic to everything and snores. I can also relate to that 100%. Like, I don't have, like, the curly red hair, but the allergies and the snoring and the mommy issues and the not being super confident at every turn, I can totally relate to that.
Yeah, I like that she, you know, I think it's easy, you know, there's like the self-deprecation humor that I think can get a little overplayed when you're not, you know, the quote-unquote, like, ideal, like, size and hair, you know, like there's all these things that I have to say. So today when I was prepping for this show, something that really upset me was as I was Google searching her, like one of the autofill like things was fat. And I was like, hold up. Like just because she is not like whatever. Like, I hate talking about women's body sizes and it's stupid. And I hate that that is something that comes up for her. You know, I think the self-deprecation stuff, I don't think is so laid on that it becomes a problem. Do you know what I mean? I think sometimes characters who don't fit these ideal beauty standards, like the self-deprecation humor can become a little much for me, and I haven't encountered that yet. And so I appreciate that about the writing on the show, that her self-deprecation is more in her confidence and less about anything specific about her. But you see her confidence when it's something that she knows. So like in prep for today, I rewatched Eden, where she like knocks herself out trying to get the sample of the asteroid, but then is like, I can fix it. I can fix it. You know, is like running through the ship so that they can stop the asteroids from hitting the planet because they're going to do a donut around the planet and slingshot the asteroid, which is such a fun premise in and of itself. But, you know, she was supposed to be resting because she almost killed herself. And, you know, everyone was like, you need to go away. And she's like, no, I've got this. I'm going to fix it. So she knows when to be really forward and when to have that self-confidence. And it's usually based on her knowledge and her intellect, which I love and appreciate.
I think it's pretty – well, I see a lot of characters – where they are kind of one note in that, like, oh, you're clearly the comedic relief, right? And it's easy for someone to kind of fall into that and just be the person who can deliver the quips when you need to lower the tension in a tense moment. You need a little bit of a lighthearted burst or something. And it felt like in the beginning, that was a little bit of her role. There was the first season, as we all know, was pretty heavy, and it was light on moments of levity, but she was delightful in how she could deliver that. But I think we could all see pretty immediately that she's able to navigate being able to both deliver those moments of levity and be powerful and dramatic in her own right, and in these scenes where you need to really feel something for the character, for everyone, and recognize the stakes and be like fully engrossed in it. And she's such a great anchor for the rest of the team in being able to kind of play both sides. I mean, a lot of people are just kind of like straight arrow, like Pike and Burnham. They are going to be the laced up boots, like straight man kind of the show. And I'm just always impressed with someone who's able to do the range of comedy and drama and just so effortlessly flow back and forth. And she's shown time and time again that she could just carry the show.
Yeah. She's like a utility knife. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say she's a fully realized, well-rounded character, right? Like no one is broody all the time. No one is funny all the time. It's like we all have these ebbs and flows as realistic humans. And so I think they've written her character to be very smart in that way. And then I also think Mary Wiseman plays the character so relatably and does an incredible job of balancing that. Like, I have mommy issues, but I'm learning to conquer them through my own self-discovery.
I mean, we've seen so many shows where we've had these characters that are like, oh, I'm here for the jokey quips, and it becomes tedious, and then that character has to fade into the background, and suddenly they're not there the second season. But, you know, hers is definitely, you know, able to play all sides.
Well, I think what's important is that she also carries the right tone for the show, right? Like, she's a missing piece. And I try to attribute that to the writing of the show and the performance by Mary Wiseman, in that it's like she has this really interesting ability to deliver her lines in a way that's funny, but not too funny, if that makes sense. So
not wacky.
Well, so
it's grounded.
It's kind of interesting because I think sometimes, especially in sci-fi shows, you can get to the point where they've got a character who's there to provide levity and to be witty, and I can find them super annoying, right? Like, it's just like, oh, you're over the top all the time, just all the time. And she doesn't. Like, it's this really delicate balance of being different, being somewhat and some of the comedy is almost physical, but it's endearing in a way that it's almost like she's your silly friend, you know? It's amazing.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about her journey on the series. I find it really interesting that she's like the STEM, super student, but she's also an underconfident underdog. Like, we learn a lot about Tilly in Runaway, the short trek episode in which she meets and befriends Poe. I watched that again today because that's a really, like, it's one of the few, like, Tilly-centric episodes that we get. And one of the threads I hope the show explores more in the future was in this episode. And it's her very troubled, or what seems to be a very troubled, relationship with her mom, who she said in that episode didn't really believe in her. And she talks about how her mother brings up this terrible childhood memory of Tilly not being able to climb this wall during like gym class or whatever. And Tilly ran away instead of confronting the challenge. I find that story kind of relatable. And it sets Tilly up as an underdog who you root for to not run away from challenges in her adult life. So when she's a hero on the show, you cheer for her. And you feel invested in her success. So with Tilly, I think, you know, all these characters that we see on Discovery are on a journey. But with Tilly, we've really seen someone who started out as a cadet and very low on the totem pole. Like, everyone else we see, Saru, Michael Burnham, they were already on the command, in some kind of command authority, right? And with Tilly, she was the lowest on the totem pole. And the more we learn about her, we learn about her trouble with her family and how underconfident she was and how she really had nobody to really support her until she landed on the Discovery and met Saru and Michael Burnham and all these people who are now lifting her up. So I think one of the greatest things about Tilly is just being able to watch her trajectory from cadet to ensign to, you know, maybe one day she'll be leading the engineering station with Stamets, and maybe one day she'll be captain. That journey to me is very compelling.
Right. And you know, the thing about that she was introduced to us as a person who has to have their own sleeping quarters, right? Like, she's a like, when Michael Burnham comes on the ship, she's like, hey, I'm going to be your roommate. I was sleeping by myself because I have a special needs, I think is what she says, for being allergic to, what was it? She was allergic to some stuff.
Like the fabrics that they use in the beds or something.
Yeah.
Okay. But anyway, it was like, and she's like talking nonstop to the point where she's like, oh, I'm talking too much. Am I talking too much? And she's like immediately like just like shot out of a cannon, like kind of overbearing. And that is the perfect counterpart to the person that we were presented with in Michael Burnham. That's the person that you need for Michael Burnham, who is so straight-laced and very and emotionally arrested in a way, in how she expresses herself, and guarded. She needs someone who's there and enthusiastic and probably pushes past boundaries in a way to kind of extract that out of Burnham. Like, you need Tilly there to be like, hey, I'm going to be your wingman. I'm going to take you to parties. I'm going to be the one who tries to help hook you up with Ash Tyler. Sorry, that was actually a bad call, but I'm going to do it anyway.
I mean, can you blame her?
But I mean, that's what wingmen do, is they introduce you to people you should never date. That's the evidence of a great wingman.
But she's clingy in a way that, like, she's a person who also needed a friendship. She needed someone, and so she's going to push Burnham in a way to open up, and she's going to be that conduit for us, the viewer, to finally get a character that they've written, like Michael Burnham, to have that avenue to be able to open up to her and then to us. So we're kind of given insight into what's going on with the Michael Burnham character. It's just a really smart pairing to have her with Burnham and how that works out in how they're able to tell stories.
Yeah. And it was, she's allergic to polyester, and I'm going to try and get this right so I can sound all super scientific-y. Viscoelastic polyurethane foam.
Oh, all right.
and it made her snore. That's what she was allergic to. Yeah. You know, it's Chupi mentioned it, and I was just thinking this in my head. I was trying to compare Tilly to other ensign characters. So, Mike, when you were like, we see her from cadet to an ensign, that just triggered me thinking about some of the other significant ensigns that we've seen across kind of the Star Trek franchise. And the ones that made most sense to me were thinking about she's a little like Wesley Crusher and Harry Kim, only if, like, they finally got the formula right. Right? Like, yeah. How do you balance it to the point that we want to see them every week?
So these other characters were annoying?
Oh, yeah.
I'm guessing.
Very much so. Yeah, like Chupi says, what do y'all think about Tilly? Maybe she's Wesley done right in our live chat. And I think I've never thought about that. I think that's a really good point, because Wesley was kind of supposed to be the audience surrogate in a way. It was supposed to be the young person late at night watching TV and who's inserted into the show. And you kind of follow that character and you follow the show through his eyes a little bit. And of course that didn't really work out. And I mean, we could, that's another
podcast. I've heard this a little bit, but like, if you could give me a quick summary, why does everyone seem to hate this Wesley Crusher guy? Because Will Wheaton seems to be highly regarded by most geeks, but, you know, his character he played, everyone seems to hate.
It was really the dialogue, the scripting of the dialogue was, I mean, the show was written by people in their 40s and who didn't know how to write for a teenager. And, you know, we're just trying to write cool lines. It just didn't work. And you also had Wesley bumping up against Captain Picard a lot. And Picard was written as a guy who is not really solitary, but very much just doesn't like children, doesn't like kids. And so some of the greatest scenes, like there's literally a meme of Picard saying, "Shut up, Wesley," over and over, because he says that on the show. And that's what's memorable about it. But I think as the series went on, Wesley Crusher became a pretty interesting and aspirational character. And they finally figured out what to do with him. And what they figured out was not have him in every episode and just have him show up two or three times a season. So we see his growth. And what really, like me as a young person watching TNG and watching Wesley, I didn't really like him the first couple seasons. But what I did like was when he went off and did his own thing and would check in every now and then with his mom, Dr. Crusher, on the Enterprise crew. And we would see him advancing in his career, in his life, and watching his journey from cadet to where he ends up. And that's what I like about Tilly. We get that journey.
Wait, his name's Wesley Crusher? Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know the link there either.
So I think the, you know, to Mike's point, they struggled with the everyday, and his arc was just a little bit boring from time to time. and I didn't see a whole lot of growth. It was just,
he was kind of the wonder kid. Yeah.
Well, but I also think that, you know, what Discovery does well that I think TNG struggled with early on is the cast was so big on Discovery or on TNG. And so I think at the end of the day, there just wasn't a lot for Wesley. What they get right with Tilly is she's just in the forefront enough that we want more, and they know what they're doing with her. I think they really do have a plan, a strategy from day one on how to develop the character and her backstory and where they're going to take her.
You mentioned Tilly's arc and how she comes from feeling like an outsider when she was growing up. And I was kind of thinking about how the Star Trek Discovery, and I'm not sure if this is following in the lineage of other Trek shows, but I'm kind of guessing this is more following in the line of a lot of more modern ensemble shows, in that if you want to bring all these people together, you have to make all of them a little bit of misfits. And I think that's what we see in Star Trek Discovery a lot. We see Tilly is a little bit of a misfit. She's smart and she's talented, but she doesn't really know her place. She feels socially awkward around some of these other people. She's bright and bubbly, but sometimes that's off-putting to particular people. And so she hasn't really been able to find her place until she finds her family with this group. Michael Burnham obviously is a misfit, struggling between the duality of her two worlds and trying to find her place. Saru is the first of his kind to ever come on this ship. Stamets is interesting. I mean, he's certainly cantankerous and kind of is off putting to people, but he had a place. He had a family, with Culbert. And, you know, for as much as we should definitely discuss the problems with them killing off Culbert, and we have discussed that previously, so early on, doing that isolated him and made him once again a misfit. And I mean, you could just kind of go on and on. Like, a lot of these, all of these people in this group all feel like they were all isolated from any sort of family unit, and they needed this sort of family, and that's what brings them together. And I think we see that in a lot more of other like sci-fi shows. You know, you mentioned Serenity, Clyde, Firefly, Lost, some shows like that. Like, you have all these people that need to find what their new family and their new place is. And it's a formula that works so well in a lot of shows, but I just really love what they're doing here.
You know, Grant, you've just made me think about something. One way that they've kind of, I guess, expanded Tilly's kind of world and given us insights is how she relates to all the other characters. And they've really been able to, I don't know, almost introduce the other characters by interacting with her. Because what I was thinking specifically is, her interaction with Saru made me see him very differently as a character. It was his believing in her and encouraging her to do more and to, you know, go for command. Like, that made me see, it humanized Saru a little bit for me. And then when I think about her conversations with Stamets, and I'm just kind of looking around and going, her interactions with the crew helps me see each one of them differently while I'm learning about her. And that might be a masterstroke when I think about it.
Yeah, it's what they were trying to do with Wesley Crusher, to introduce him in all these different situations and get the audience to see the world and the characters through his eyes. But it didn't really work. But it's working here with Tilly, for sure. Like, when she asked Saru to be her mentor when she's on the command track, that really does humanize him a lot in that, I believe it's a second season, right? And that really helps grow Saru's character, and not to mention her friendship with Michael Burnham, where Michael Burnham's scenes with Tilly allow her to be at her most vulnerable, where we get to learn a lot more about Michael Burnham's past, or her fears, her doubts. Yeah, she's a great character. She's a great character that pulls a lot of emotion from other characters, for sure. Let's talk about our favorite Tilly moments. I know we probably already mentioned some, but just to get kind of like specific about it. I think somebody mentioned the season one episode, Magic to Make the Sanest Man Go Mad. The one where Rainn Wilson comes in as Harry Mudd and tripping through time. Like, that was a lot of fun. And I love seeing Tilly just cut loose at that party. She just let go of her inhibitions to blow off some steam. And it was funny. It was a lot of fun. But what I liked more about Tilly in that episode is how she served as kind of a social mentor to Michael Burnham, who at that point is even more of an underdog or an outsider than Tilly was. And not only is that dynamic between them a picture of a fun, sweet friendship, but it also relays how much Tilly cares and will go out of her way to support her friends, even though she encourages her to hook up with Ash Tyler. I also love, like, this is a goofy one, but I mean, I also loved her flirty scene with Pike when she meets Pike for the first time. She's just so nervous and she was like sweating him so hard. So she was definitely like an audience surrogate in that moment, which is kind of, it's kind of like what she is. Like, she's this really down to earth, geeky character, which I feel like, I think Grant said earlier, she's a Star Trek fan who's in the Star Trek show. So what are some of your favorite Tilly moments?
I like her whole Short Trek episode. I think it's a really fun way to see a little bit more of her character through like a full plot line and just her interactions with Poe, especially when she gets down on the ground and she growls at her to get her to like listen to her. I was like, oh, I've seen like, this is weird. Anyway, I was like, I've seen my dad and my uncle do that with actual dogs, like to get them to listen to them. And I was like, this is such a weird primal thing.
Four on the floor.
Yeah. They just like get down on the floor and they're like, you're going to listen. I am the alpha. And she's like doing that in that scene. And then I also really like at the end of Eden when she's like accomplished everything and she's like, I'm just going to go pass out now. And Saru's like, do you need help? And she's like, no, I got it. Like, she's still like, I don't need anybody's help. I'm going to figure this out. I am fine. And her whole motivation for that was to like make Stamets happy. And it was like, she was willing to risk her life to make her friend happy. And I think that says so much about her character.
Someone, mentioned the line, what the heck? I mean, hell, hold your horses, where she has to pretend she's Killy.
Right.
And I love that whole sequence where she's like the person that we know having to assume the role of a character so vastly different. So like both like not just confident, but like narcissistically evil, right? Like they can control, they want to control the universe kind of thing. And she has to step into that role and doesn't even know like basic lingo to like be a little bit more aggressive. And she's like all of the timid actions. It just makes for such great comedy. And she nails it while it never coming across as too farcical for the situation.
Yeah. Captain Killy is classic.
Yeah. So I would say I love them all. She's a great character. And when she's on screen, you know you're going to get something dynamic and fun. If I was forced
you
to
are
choose,
forced.
I am forced to choose. I got to go to the beginning scene when she meets Michael Burnham, in part because of what it was, right? It was so kind of heavy. When we kind of came in from everything that was going on in the pilot, we needed that break. Like, I think, honestly, at that point, I think what we're with episode two, we have no idea what's going on with Burnham. Like, we're kind of like, she's prisoner on a shuttle, and now she's thrust into this very weird place, and then we get Tilly. Like, it was just a great introduction, and that has always stuck with me. That being said, I also have to say, just the polar opposite of Captain Killy was incredible. And so, yeah, those are probably the two standouts, but anything from, you know, any of her lines work for me.
So was the role of Tilly, like, when she's first roommates with Burnham, she's a cadet. I'm not really sure what that means. Does that mean like she's just kind of like in the, she would have theoretically been in the background and been ignored for the most part? Or is she kind of like an assistant? Like, it seemed like she was kind of helping Stamets, right?
Yeah. Being a cadet, it's kind of like the Discovery is her internship before she becomes a professional.
Okay. So would you say that it was her relationship with Burnham that was able to kind of bring her up in the ranks and like have her folded into a lot of the main action from the bridge?
I think it definitely influenced it, but I think she was the only cadet that was on the Discovery, and she earned that post, right? And I think just because of how special the Discovery was as being like the only ship with a Spora drive, the ship that was so involved in the Klingon War, she had the opportunity to stand out as a cadet. And like you said earlier, jump into different roles like a utility player, right, and really shine where she needed to be. But yeah, if we ever do see cadets like previously on Star Trek shows, they're just kind of in the background. Yeah. But here, Tilly found her moments to shine and really stand out.
I'm going to disagree just a little bit in the fact that I don't know that it had a lot to do with Burnham, and more to do with the fact that she's just really good, right? Like, from a competent standpoint, I think that's what she has when we think about people like Wesley Crusher and Harry Kim, and the fact that while they were uber young, they were just better than everybody else kind of at their class. And so to me, I look at Tilly and go, first of all, she was there because she was incredibly bright and incredibly competent. And it didn't take long for all of us to see that she was amazing.
I have to disagree with you on one point really quick, Clyde. I don't think Ensign Kim was more confident or brighter than anybody. But that's another podcast.
Did I say more Harry brighter? Kim. Okay.
I don't know what this means.
I wanted to jump in though. I do think it is like typically, like y'all have already explained, like we don't see a lot of cadets with a lot of screen time, right, traditionally in Trek. But I think it is a smart move on the show's part because you're getting to see someone's full like journey. Normally we end up seeing them once they are at that ensign, captain, like admiral, like high up at the top. And so if I'm remembering correctly, I'm pretty sure she also was on the ship because she had been studying with Stamets, or like had done extensive research on like his stuff. Anyway, I think there's a link there more than her involvement in rooming with Burnham. I think her connection with Stamets, I think, has more to do with her sort of rising through the ranks and her ability to like insert herself into more situations.
Yes, I like that you mentioned Stamets. I have something I'm going to talk about in terms of her relationship with him. But before we get to our next topic, Grant, did you have something?
Yeah, just kind of piggybacking off of that. Like, yeah, I think that I was kind of curious because I remember that Tilly was a cadet, like kind of a low ranking person on the ship, but she seemed to have been folded into one of the very first kind of excursions on the Discovery when they go to their sister's ship and realize that like everything got fucked up from the Spore drive. I don't really remember, but I just remember like she was kind of brought into that. And I imagine like her I think that she had a great performance on that particular journey, that which also kind of elevated her status there. But later on, we do see the relationship between her and Burnham, where it does seem to be this very... what's the word? They are very much helping symbiotic. Each other. Symbiotic? That could work. But...
It's a word.
You see that she mentions to Burnham, like, hey, I'm interested in becoming a captain someday. And, like, Burnham kind of takes her under her wing. And she's like, yeah, let's do some training. Let's, like I can help you out in this way. Like, you've helped me out on this ship, introducing me to people, trying to set me up on dates with covert Klingons. And I appreciate all of this, all the love. I'm going to take you under my wing. We're going to do some, like, running lessons and some other scenes like that. And, I think that she is able to ingratiate herself with other people to the way, like, people want to help her. She's one of those people that you want to prop up and you want to see succeed because they're such a positive influence on everyone else around them. And that seems more like, that's like what we love about Pike, right? And, like, mm-hmm. This is the ideal, the person that embodies Starfleet, the person that brings everyone else up with them and makes everyone feel loved and seen.
Yeah, she's definitely, she does embody a lot of the traits of Starfleet that are really the traits of Star Trek that are the reasons we watch the show. So let's talk about where Tilly is going. Like, we were talking about Stamets earlier. This kind of touches on that. She's on the command track now. She's in the command training program. So she will be thrust into more leadership situations, hopefully this coming season, in season 3. I definitely want to see that. So I want to see her form an even stronger professional bond with Stamets since she's working in engineering. I think if she's got her eye on a captain's chair, like we know she does, I think she could do a lot worse than following the example of Captain Janeway. Because with Janeway's career model, she was a scientist. So I think with Tilly sticking to her specialty in science and engineering and becoming a boss at that, while also training to become a commander. And I just think about this. Like, she's a scientist, and that's what she does, but she also wants to be in command. And think about, you know, season 7 of Discovery, and she gets her captain's chair, either on the Discovery or another ship. People are toasting her and congratulating her, and she says her speech, and she mentions Janeway. Imagine that. Imagine how nerdy that would be and great. Because they're pretty similar in terms of both being scientists who transition to a high-ranking position of command, which is where we know Tilly is wanting to go. So seeing her now in engineering and sciencing a lot of science with Stamets more and more is where I want to see her next season. Working with Stamets, forming that professional bond, and also developing her leadership skills. And I think that she could even, if not next season or the following, she could even head up engineering and become Stamets' boss. Because although I love Stamets and he's the boss of engineering, he's not a great people person. I can see him wanting to give up that role. And I can see him wanting to give up that leadership role to Tilly it means helping her advance. And also if it means that he can work on his weird little side projects more.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting with them jumping so far in the future, like how all of these career goals and things might shift for her. You know, it could become more of a, like, there's also like the Spock track, who is also, you know, a science officer and eventually becoming a diplomat. And I think that is another possibility, especially with them jumping into what looks to be like a pretty hostile future. So it's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out now that they've jumped so far.
Yeah, I'm interested in seeing her get opportunities to lead. Even now, I think it might be a little soon, but I'm still interested in it. And whether that's leading an away team mission or everybody else leaves and, you know, something else we see in Trek a lot, everybody else leaves and she gets left in charge of of the ship, and then there's an issue that she has to solve. So I think it'd be interesting. I think she'd do a great job in that whole people nature being, you know, having to give people hard, you know, orders, all of those typical things we see in Star Trek. I'm excited for them to explore that with her through her lens.
Man, now that you mentioned like the whole idea of them jumping 1,000 years in the future, I and also mentioning that like Stamets could be like left to his own devices, like investigating things. Can you imagine jumping 1,000 years in the future as a fringe scientist and like exploring what advancements they've come up with, like, and just being like overwhelmed by this kind of information? I wonder if that's how they're going to play it, or if they're going to do the regression of society to a more primitive kind of technology, and they've lost a lot of information through war and isolation and whatever.
I think that's it.
Yeah, because otherwise they have to start imagining things a lot more crazy.
Yeah, in the promos for season three, we don't see a lot of like big cities and like urban utopias or anything. So
do you imagine that ship, like, they're gonna come here like gods in a way, then?
Could be.
Well, the other reason we might not have seen those scenes is because they take far more post-production.
Yeah. Okay, real quick, let's before we jump into listener comments, let's just wrap up with our Tilly conversation. What do we like about Mary Wiseman, who plays this character?
What don't we like about Mary Wiseman?
Yeah, I mean,
she's incredible.
She's just so, she's so game for whatever the show throws at her. I mean, she's the geeky best friend. She's evil Captain Killy. She can be the one in charge of a situation. She can be extremely vulnerable. She can coax that vulnerability legitimately out of other characters. Like, this character, like, on a lot of other shows, you see, like, the geeky sidekick character who can be really grating after a while. And if we're being real here, this character could have been really just grating. You know, like, oh, here's the quirky one with the capital Q. But Wiseman, I think, just grounds Tilly and makes her feel real. And that's what I appreciate about her.
Do we not like the quirky one?
We like the quirky one.
We like the quirky one.
But we like well-acted, quirky people.
Thank you, Mariah.
As long as the quirky one has brings some depth.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
gotta go.
Like Tilly. And like our very own Grant Davis.
I think it's... I think she does an amazing job. And the way I look at it is this. In sci-fi, when you do a really good job, people look at you as that character for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Right? Like... Michael Dorn is cool, but he's always going to be Worf, right?
For better or worse.
Right. Look, LeVar Burton is amazing and has had more, like, monumental roles than any one actor probably should have. I mean, he, not only was he Kunta Kinte, but he's also reading Rainbow. Yet, you just are looking for the visor when you see him, right? That's what I see in Mary Wiseman. Exactly. I think that we're going to look up and at some point you would bump into her and go, Tilly. Like, that's what she's creating, an iconic role.
And if she decided to straighten her hair that day, you'd bump into her and go, Killy. It's Killy.
she's just going to have to shave her head for the next role.
But I think, I mean, I looked at, you know, I did a little like IMDb wiki digging. And I mean, she trained at like Juilliard. She went to Boston, like college at Boston for her BFA. Like, she is a legitimately well-trained, obviously very talented actor. And I think it shows. And it's also, I think, helpful for me as a viewer is like, before this, she played a lot of smaller roles or less well-known shows. And so the fact that she isn't as well-known to the majority of the public, I think, allows her to really put her stamp on, as you all said, I think will eventually become a pretty iconic character. Like, people are going to be cosplaying. Oh, yeah. For sure.
People?
Peep. People.
People, Mariah? Mm-hmm. What person are you thinking of in particular?
I mean, all I need is the unicorn. Yeah. It's the easiest cosplay.
It's already happening. It's already happening. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where she goes from this. I think it'll be fascinating to see what other projects she gets and how they're received.
I don't know. I'd be surprised if she's typecast because of this, because I think it's shown a considerable amount of range.
Yeah, I'm ready to see her in a rom-com. I'm ready.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that'd be good.
Horror movie. Chupi says, what I know is if I'd seen a smart, curvy, awkward girl like her on Star Trek when I was young, I'd have been a lot more confident person. Again, Star Trek doing great strides in representation here. That's great.
Yeah. I always like when, I mean, it's one of the reasons I've loved Star Trek for so long. And like the reason I got hooked was because Janeway was my first captain. And so it's like, if I get my introduction to this world is you're already telling me that there's a woman in charge, like I'm in.
Marge says that Marge feels her difficulty with her mother. And correct me if I'm wrong, guys. I don't think we've ever seen Tilly's mother. We might have seen like a hollow image of her. And we're not even sure if that was really her or Tilly like practicing talking to her mother. But
right.
I wonder how it's going to be in season 3 when 1,000 years in the future, her mother's obviously dead if she was human. And
she sent a goodbye message.
It makes me realize like Tilly was just like, yeah, I'll jump 1,000 years in the future. No problem. I got nobody here but you guys. My parents suck. That makes a lot of that makes a lot more sense to me now that I think about her problems with her mom.
I still think there's a lot that we can kind of mine in that relationship, because I was looking and so her mother's name is Siobhan, but we never hear it. It's only in like the closed captions that we see it. They've left it so blank for us that I think there's so much there to explore, whether it's in a short track or a flashback. And it's going to tell us more about who she is and why she is the way she is and how she fits into this crazy family that they call Discovery.
Totally.
One of the best episodes of Lost, and go ahead, Clyde, mark it down. I'm talking about Lost.
I've been waiting for it.
Take a drink.
So you've been pretty good.
What's the score? I think we've had 3 mentions this episode.
Yes.
Okay, it's true. One of the best episodes in the first season is an episode called All of the Best Cowboys Have Daddy Issues. And it's when Jack Shepard is exploring his issues with his dad and being a doctor, with his dad being a doctor who had extreme high standards of who he needed to be as a person, as a profession, and never feeling like he could live up to that. We see this same kind of relationship kind of reflected in Tilly and her relationship with her mom, and that she feels like she's failed to live up to these certain expectations of her mom. And I just, it is always perfect rife ground for exploration in these character studies. And it's always such relatable content, because I feel like you can have a fantastic relationship with your parent and you can still feel occasionally like maybe you didn't hit the mark. Maybe you didn't live up to something, or maybe there's unspoken things in your relationship with your parent that you feel regret or pain with. And whenever they explore those with characters, I find that everyone who discusses them can relate. It's always been like this universal thing. You explore people's relationships with their parents and there's this pain in there that everyone can identify with. I'm scared of how I'm raising my kids, is what I'm saying.
My grandma used to say you should just start saving for their therapy the day that they're born, because everything is always going to be your fault.
It's interesting, man, that we're talking about the parent angle, because Chupi says Tilly's mother was a diplomat. Mariah, you mentioned Tilly could be a good diplomat. Mm-hmm. I think that's true, too. And Tilly's mother wanted her to be a diplomat. It was a constant disappointment to her mother that she wasn't more like her. I feel that.
Man.
Well, I think we need more scientific diplomats, so maybe we're all going to win.
I just can't imagine being disappointed that my kids ended up like me. Oh.
Takako says she loves Tilly's enthusiasm and mentions a quote that we forgot to mention or didn't mention yet. This is the power of math, people.
All right. It's
iconic. Classic. Iconic line.
Classic.
Mathematical. It's also one of my favorite quotes from Adventure Time.
And wasn't Tilly the first character to drop the F-bomb in Star Trek? Am I right?
Did she?
Yeah. Was it?
Are we sure it wasn't like Giorgio? I feel like that's...
I think it was season one. I don't know. Hmm. Chat room, if I'm wrong about this, let me know.
My money's on Lorca. He seems like a F-bomb episode two type of guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and maybe one thing we haven't mentioned that Marge is reminding us of. Tilly's first name is Sylvia. And everybody refers to her just by her last name as Tilly.
Unless you're May, who calls her Stilly, which
that's
is
right.
S. Tilly.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Stilly.
Hmm. Oh, she did. She said, you guys, this is so fucking cool.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
The perfect way to drop the first F-bomb on Star Trek, because that's probably what everyone watching the first episode of Discovery was saying anyway.
And then followed it up with, it is fucking cool. like twice. It's like, yeah. Hey, audience, we're saying fuck now in relation to this being fucking cool.
Welcome to CBS All Access.
Hey, do you remember, we got a comment, Mike, on one of our episodes from some like parent who was like, I listened to this with my kids and you guys said the F word. And I'm like, they're saying it on the show.
I can't listen to your pod anymore because you have potty mouth.
Potty mouth? Oh, boy.
Oh, no. That's worse than the F-bomb, Grant.
Bye. That's too quirky.
All right, guys. I think we covered Tilly pretty well. I can't wait to see Mary Wiseman back in a role in season three. Come on, get that post-production going. We want season three.
Let's send all the good vibes to post-production today.
Mm-hmm. It's like they don't recognize that we're in a global pandemic and just need a little bit of good news. Come on.
No, I think they recognize it and they understand that the longer they wait, the last content's going to be out there, and then they'll have all the eyeballs. Because at some point, all the stuff that's canned that they've worked on, we're going to run out. And Grant, you really will be watching Lost. And when that happens...
Oh, no.
That's true.
Can you imagine me having to watch the best show ever on television of all time?
Oh, no. They did release some preview images for Lower Decks today, right. Though. Did you all see those?
Yeah.
That's the animated one?
Mm-hmm. So that's good.
Yeah, that looked cool.
That's good. Okay, thank you so much for joining us on the pod this week. Remember, we will be live every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central on YouTube, and we're also live on Twitch, Facebook, Twitter. Just go to StarTrekPod.co for links to watch the live stream on any of those platforms I just mentioned.
Yeah, and we will be back next Thursday again at 9 p.m. Central, and we're going to be doing a little bit of a throwback episode. So CBS made a number of like classic Trek episodes available that they think help talk about culturally important issues throughout Trek's history. And so we're going to dive into one of those. So next Thursday, we're covering the TNG episode, Face of the Enemy.
This is the one where Geordi is stranded on a derelict planet with a Romulan, and they have to work together. But it's also the one where the crew rescues a Romulan, and for some reason, he's dying, and he needs a blood transfusion. And the only one on the ship who has a match, or who is a match for his blood type, is Worf. And Worf hates Romulans more than anything, and he's like, fuck this guy.
Guess what?
It just seems like a not logical
thing. Not very logical.
For two different species to be able to donate to each other. But okay.
But it's a
dad. The '90s. Let's just understand. Like the '90s.
The '90s, yes.
Isn't his blood is Romulan blood pink then?
Maybe it's pink. I think it's green, actually. That doesn't work.
This is gonna be the next generation episode I ever watch.
It's gonna be a good one. because not only is it culturally relevant and deep and covers some pretty interesting things or themes in a pretty like subtle way. Like it's not as over the top as you would think. It also has some really campy special effects that make it a lot of fun. So,
So I also want to remind you guys that you can help promote us over, you can help support us over at patreon.com/StarTrekPod. There you go. And make a per episode pledge. Give us $2 a month if you are so generous, and we'll welcome you into our private Slack channel. You get access to all of our bonus exclusive Patreon episodes that we record, including the Badass Ladies of Trek series that Mike and Mariah have been running. We're also doing movie reviews from time to time, and I think we're about to delve into the Kelvinverse soon? I don't know. But
TBD.
TBD. Patreon.com/StarTrekPod.
And I got it wrong earlier. The episode we're covering is The Enemy, not Face of the Enemy. Face of the Enemy is where Deanna Troi is a Romulan.
I was like, oh, good, I've already watched the episode. And then you started to describe it. Yeah. And I was like, this is not the same episode.
But Mariah and I are covering Face of the Enemy on our Patreon podcast. So check that out. But next week, live on Thursday.
It's a good episode, too.
Yeah, it is good. Next week, live on Thursday here on YouTube, it's going to be The Enemy, the TNG episode.
I would have been so mad. I watched the wrong episode, and I wouldn't have known the difference. No. But I would have come on here, and all of a sudden we start talking, and I'm like, what are you guys saying? There was this other person, and I don't know what this is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, Grant, it's okay if you watch 2 episodes, because, I mean, they're good episodes.
Stop and it. Stop trying to make me a full-on Trekkie.
And for all of you, if you haven't gotten enough of us, you please follow us on Twitter and on Instagram. You can follow us on both of those at Star Trek Pod. Tweet about the episode, please. And as always, I want to give a special shout out to those who help us. Karen, who runs our Twitter, and James, who runs our Insta. Thanks, James. Thanks, Karen.
And thank you so much for joining us on Star Trek Discovery Pod. Remember, we're asking you to please help promote the podcast on Reddit. Hit up all the Star Trek fan subreddits, post our episodes, see if anyone on there is talking about Star Trek podcast, tell them, hey, you should listen to Star Trek Discovery Pod. So make sure they know about the podcast. Thank you so very much. Clyde, where can we follow you online and hear more from you?
As always, you can find me at Clyde Haynes on Twitter and on the web at www.keyandclyde.com. It's KEI and Clyde.com.
Mariah.
I'm at Mariah Gossett on all platforms. That's Mariah with a Y and a Gossett with 2 S's and 2 T's.
Grant Davis.
Do not find me. I'll find you. He said threateningly.
Follow me on Twitter at Mike M. Garcia. Remember to donate to support the BLM movement at Star Trek at donate.startrekpod.co. Live long and prosper.